Praise the Lord that we may believe that everything is still there for us in the rock of Jesus Christ. We are so glad that we can look to Him alone and to His precious and holy word. People in our day are in despair, don't know what to do, don't know where they stand. But we are so glad that God has shown us the true way, that He has let the true light shine for us, that He leads us the way home. And for that, we can only praise and glorify God. I would like to read a word before we pray. It is a marvelous word. I was actually very surprised. Perhaps I have to say that we had gone to a place on holiday, and there were a few others with us. And we all sat at a table and drank coffee, and cake was served. And then a conversation started, and suddenly the man of the house said to me, "Brother Rus, can I say something? I haven't said much, only the others have spoken." And I say, "Of course, my brother, now it's your turn." And he says, "Yes, I don't want to say anything, but I want to read something out here," he says. And then he opened the Bible, and that was the end of all the talk, you know. Then God spoke through His holy and precious word, and this word was a great blessing to us. From 1 John chapter 2, let us read these words before we pray. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, 'I know Him,' and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith, 'He abideth in Him,' ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word, which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you, because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. Let us rise to pray together. Faithful God, we thank you from the depths of our hearts that we may once again be gathered here today, that you have held your holy and protective hands over us in these days and over your people, O God. Lord, we thank you especially for your powerful and holy word, which is above all, Lord. We have read it from the Scriptures. It is your word alone, Lord, that sets us right. It is your word alone that brings us life. And so we worship you and praise your grace. Faithful God, we thank you that your word is the truth. Everything else will pass away, Lord, but your word remains forever. Faithful Lord, give us all grace to place our hope in your word alone, O Lord. For we know everything human and whatever there is in our day, it may appear to be your word, but Lord, we know your word abides. And we must test everything we see, Lord, and what is said against your word. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you have given us your word, and let the light shine for us. My God, grant us such hearts that when we confess that the light has risen in us, Lord, that it really wants to shine out of us, that we can then love our brother, our neighbor. Lord, give grace in these last days. Many claim, Lord, that they are in the light, Lord, but hate their brother and their neighbor, O God. Lord, but your word gives us such clear insight into everything. We worship you, Lord, that your word is yes and amen. Receive the honor and the praise and the worship. Lord, we know that you alone are able to make your people ready, and you have begun it, and you will complete it. We worship you and ask you to remain with us today. Continue to bless us, and continue to bless your word to us, that we will hear by grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I hope that we have not only sung it, but that we desire it, really want it from the heart. Let the Spirit of God flood my heart as deeply and intimately as in the old days, that you see it, that you hear it, that you feel it, that it has really happened. As Brother Branham once said, time is so superficial, and that's the way it is. Our experiences, our moments with God, they are a little superficial. They don't have the depth as it once was. But by the grace of God, we are on the way back, to the beginning. That is the good old way. Blessed is he who still realizes that something is missing. You know what I mean. Something is missing spiritually. Otherwise, we won't realize it anyway. But God has already provided everything we lack. We are glad that Brother and Sister Rus are also back. Yes. They always look so blooming. They don't even need to go on holiday. Praise the Lord. We are glad that you are all here. We want you to know that. We are grateful to God for you, for all of you who come to hear God's word. We don't always have the opportunity here, and we don't have the American way of shaking hands and giving compliments. But deep in our hearts, we are grateful for every brother and sister, for everyone, for all who love God, for all who love one another. And if we love one another, we will not be able to harm one another. Love worketh no ill. No, it does good. It does what is right and what can stand before God. We had a meeting in Zurich. Brother Rus was there too, and also there we were thankful to God. I sometimes thought that Brother Branham spoke at some length. It lasted 2 hours or more, and when I looked at the clock on Sunday, 2.5 hours had gone by, and I thought, my God, don't you know the clock anymore? Have you lost track of time? Or are you struggling to say what needs to be said? But the people were probably blessed. I can't judge that. The word was great to me. It is becoming ever greater to me. God is faithful. He has spoken. He has revealed His word to us in a way that has not been heard in clarity since the days of the apostles. And even in the chapter that we have now all read, it is also repeatedly about the word. It says in verse 5, "But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." We have said this often enough here. Every time uses the term word or scripture or as it is written, these terms always refer to the Old Testament. And there is only one way to recognize how you stand and where you stand in the New Testament, if you apply the standard of the Old Testament. You may never fully grasp this. Perhaps you have already realized it. But the fact is that in the first 3 centuries there was no New Testament at all from which to preach. The Lord Jesus, all the apostles, all the men of God only preached from the Old Testament in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd centuries. The New was not even here yet. Athanasius, a man who believed in the oneness of God and championed it at the Council of Nicaea, it was he who collected the individual writings that circulated through the churches and brought them together to form the canon of the New Testament. And only then was there a New Testament as we have it today. We stand on 2 feet, on the Old and on the New Testament. We have the Old in order to know what God has promised. We have the New in order to see and recognize how God fulfills what He has said. And we value both equally. The one cannot be separated from the other. The one belongs to the other. For us, everything is God's Word, Old and New Testament. But you know exactly how many believers there are for whom God's Word begins with Matthew 1 and not before. That's how it is. Amongst most believers, yes, maybe the Psalms, which are quite nice to read, but then it soon ends. No, God's Word begins with the first verse of the Bible and ends with the last. And all of it forms a harmonious whole. Prophets and apostles have spoken and written, inspired and driven by the same Spirit of God. And so we are dealing with God and His Word. But when it comes to the fact that it is written here, for example, whoever sins and so on, then we have nothing to do with arbitrariness. Then we have to open up the register of sins of the law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Conviction, all that. There is no other way. There is no other way. And when we realize that sin is the transgression of the law, you understand that, right? That's how it is. At some point, I read recently Romans 3. It's the chapter that gives a very comprehensive, a tremendous insight into what God has promised. It talks about circumcision and about the truthfulness of God and about the fact that every man is a liar and that God is judge. And then, of course, it comes from verse 9, is then elaborated on. And in verse 20 it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Do you see what this is about? Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is manifested, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Isn't that a marvelous word? On the one hand, the law is given to condemn us. And then it is said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all, for all, including you and me, for everyone. But this righteousness of faith, this divine righteousness of faith, is bound to believe in the work of redemption accomplished at Calvary. There, God's righteousness was manifested for our sake. There was one who could say, for thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. If we take this statement, which is in reference with his baptism, then I ask you today, who was baptized? Luke writes, all the people, tax collectors, sinners, came and were baptized. But the Pharisees rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized. Our Lord went into the water with all the tax collectors and sinners and was baptized. He placed himself in the midst of all those whom he came to redeem. He became one of us, became like us, and says, so it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. There were sinners in multitude, and here was the Holy One, and he walks with them all on this path of God's righteousness, to pay the price at the end of his course, and to snatch from Satan all who were destined to behold the glory of God. Who of us can comprehend that God chose such a path and walked it? We would certainly have chosen a more beautiful path if we had been God. Then we would have chosen a path of redemption without Gethsemane and without Golgotha, without the crown of thorns, without everything. We would have chosen the most beautiful way. No, God was just. He had pronounced the curse because of the transgression. Thorns and thistles came upon the earth, and he had the crown of thorns placed on his head to show outwardly, it is I who take the curse upon myself. It is I who takes away the sins of the world. It is I who bring atonement. Let us now believe it from the heart that the righteousness of God, not yours and mine, but the righteousness of God, has already been witnessed by the law and the prophets and has been made manifest. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. It is not only there, but comes to all, falls to all, falls into the lap of those who believe. It falls to them. It belongs to them. Coming back to this word here, the last part appealed to me the most, although every verse could be dealt with in John's letter. Verses 28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Here, the Apostle John spoke of the return of the Lord and of the fact that we must be ready to meet him, that we do not have to shrink away from him, but can meet him, not standing back ashamed, but go joyfully to meet him. May God grant me this. May he grant us all this. For we know that the end will be crowned. And now, little children, you all know that John spoke of the last days, saying it is the last time. He spoke of the Antichrist who would appear, of the anointing that would come upon the believers, of the truth that is in us, and that no lie is of the truth, and so on. But then, at the very end, he comes to the core and says, now, right now, as if he wanted to say, just before the Lord's return, little children, when that moment draws near, when you realize that the things that have been announced are being fulfilled, and you know that the Lord's return is drawing near, right now, little children, abide in him. Yes, how can we abide in him? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. That is the connection. No one can abide in him and stand outside the word. That is impossible. Whoever remains in him remains in his word. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. May the Lord not only put this into our hearts, but may he show it to us. That is what is important, to be ready at the return of the Lord, not only to have believed, but to be ready to look up to him with joyful confidence and await his return, so that we don't have to step back before him ashamed. Then the last verse here, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. Then there was verse 6, which must go through all our marrow and bones. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We still have a way to go. We still have some steps of faith to take. Still some things that God has to do in your life and in mine. Earlier we read that we should remain in him so as not to be ashamed at his coming. And here, whoever claims to abide in him, the claim is one thing, but is it so? Claiming something does not mean that something is so. He that claims he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And this beats us all down. It bows us so low before the face of God. It humbles us in the dust. But because God has said it, it must be possible. It must be possible. God cannot have made demands that are impossible to fulfill. That is not possible. What he has said, he gives us the strength and grace to receive it and to have it. We understand that well. What God expects of us at the return of Jesus Christ, he gives to us who carry a longing within us to be there when he comes. We have received his word with all our heart, and we may still lag here and there. We want to admit that, but we must also confess that such a longing to come closer to the Lord, to serve him, to do his will, is greater and stronger in us than it has ever been. And the external circumstances may all speak against it. Abraham would call the external circumstances non-existent and look to the one who gave the promise. And what God's mouth said, he would testify as true and claim for himself. Are we the seed of Abraham? What can we do but regard all the things that should not be as non-existent and see what God has promised as if it already were? Whoever claims he abides in him, all right, you claim it. I claim it, we all claim it, that we abide in him. And then we are clearly told, he is also obliged to walk just as he walked, to react as he reacted, to speak as he spoke, to do as he did. May he give us all the grace to do so, that this may also be revealed. Like all the other words we have looked at doctrinally and prophetically, we have been given access to all these things by the grace of God. Why should we not now also be given access to all that he has promised and which is still outstanding, which is due and belongs to us in our personal life of faith? I want to say that again, and then I'll sit down. Brother Rus will certainly have to say something, and then we will pray. If we have access to everything that God has given us in the prophetic plan of salvation, what He has revealed in terms of doctrine, what He has revealed in terms of knowledge, if God has given us an open door to all of this, shouldn't the same God have also given us access to everything that He has promised us personally for our life of faith? The way is open, the veil is torn from top to bottom. The throne of grace is in sight, and we may approach the Lord and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May God bless us all. Amen. I don't have much to say. The one last thing Brother Frank said here became great to me and reminds me of what I read yesterday in one of Brother Branham's sermons. It was a meeting, and a couple came into the meeting, and they behaved very improperly and disturbed the meeting so much that everyone was looking at them. And he probably thought, what should happen now? What should be done now? And the Spirit of God said to him, they are in your power. Everything you say will happen to them. And what do we think this man of God did? I think you've all read it. Yes. He came to his senses. What would Christ do? And he says, we all have faults. A man of God, he said, I forgive you. I forgive you. That is the word, as we have heard. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. My question and my thoughts went to me personally, and I thought, what would you do in such a situation? Would you behave like this? Would you act the way this man of God acted? He could have said something else. The Lord told him, what you say will be done. But he didn't condemn them in any way. He declared himself unworthy and considered himself low and unworthy and considered himself flawed. And then afterwards, something came. Then something came. Then the divine really came down on everyone. Oh, how wonderful. It made me think so much. And because this last verse was just mentioned, I had to think about it. May God give it to me and to you and to all of us. Not just that we read it here, that we just talk about it, but that it becomes our inner desire to be like Him, to act like Him, to walk like Him, our Lord. And we know we can't do it on our own unless He helps us, unless He helps you and me and all of us. But we know that no one needs to despair. No one needs to say, Yes, I can't do it, or he won't help me. He has promised us his help, and he wants to be with us. He wants to help us, all of us, to leave our thoughts and plans behind. I believe, brothers and sisters, that he will then make his glory known to us. Then he will reveal himself to us, because who are we? We can't even take anything for ourselves. We can't even pray as we should if he doesn't help us, if he does not intercede for us. But praise and thanks, we can be of good courage. We know it is the last hour. And here this apostle says, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. John had already realized this in his day. What should we say today, dear brothers and sisters? We can see so clearly that there are so many Antichrists. Anyone who does not accept the whole word, as we have heard, the Old and New Testament, is an Antichrist. He is against the word of Christ. But we want the whole word. And our brother has already said that. We are not standing on one leg. We are standing on two legs. The Old and New Testament. It is his word. We want to hold on to it and align ourselves with it. Again and again, as my brother said, the word is mentioned here. The old commandment is the word you have heard, and that must remain. And I believe that if God had not given it to us by grace, we might despair. But we need not despair. He has given us his word. We need not be depressed, but we can lift up our heads because we know our redemption draws near. He is coming. And if John could already say that the sign of the end is near, what can we say in our day? We see it. I spoke to a brother a few days ago, and he said, I have received the little booklet, and I've seen that all those who are in the Ecumenical Council, I've read all the churches, Pentecostals, all are in there, all united. I've got the booklet, he said. Yes, I had to say, my God, what a grace that we, our names are written in the Book of Life. Yes, not in a binding that is bound by people. Well, it must be so. The scriptures speak of it. We have heard it. It has really come to the point. We have really arrived in the last days, in the last hours, in the last moments. And it will soon be that he will take his own home into his kingdom and into his glory. Brothers and sisters, I believe this prompts us to offer God honor and worship. As long as we are still here on earth, let us not cease to honor his name, to call on his name, to uphold his name, for his name is above every name. When all other names fade away, but Jesus' name remains, praise and thanks. And that is what Brother Frank said in Zurich. Yes, many hold the name of Jesus Christ so high, and that is a fact, as I have experienced in the last few days. But ask them if they have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they get angry. Then they don't know what to do. Then they start to become furious. Then it turns out what they actually are, whether they have it only in the mouth or whether one is willing to take on the name of the Lord. Indeed, as the scriptures say, dear brothers and sisters, we do not want to despise or belittle anyone in this place. But we can say that God in his grace has been gracious to us, and that is why we are so happy and give God the honor. It doesn't matter what people say about us. The main thing is that we have the connection with Him and that we remain faithful to His Word. And as my brother has already said, even if everything is not yet like this, but we are on the way there, and one day the moment will come, beloved, that's for sure. We will not be dissuaded, but we know that He will reach the goal with us. Glory be to His name. So let us not preach anymore this evening. But I believe we should take to heart what we have heard. It doesn't always have to be a big, long sermon, but the short word. If we take it to heart and reach out and let it go through our minds once again, then we are blessed by it. And I believe that His Word is blessed. And everyone who truly believes His Word with all their heart will be blessed by God. Praise and thanks be to His name. Amen. Now let us worship Him. Let us stand up. We are free. We can pray. Heavenly Father, from my heart I thank You for Your precious and holy Word. Beloved Lord, You have given us an obligation when we have recognized You and claim to abide in You, to walk as You have walked. Lord, even on the cross, You cried out, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. You manifested the perfect love of God. Faithful Lord, thank You that we have already received a little of Your character and Your nature. We ask You, O Lord, to reveal it fully and completely for the praise and honor of Your name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You together for this time of grace and for this hour of grace. We thank You for Your holy Word that You speak to us at all times. May it become so with us, Lord, that we walk as You have walked. Lord, may this Word not only be read, may our desire be to walk as You have walked. Lord, grant us grace to speak only where we should speak as You have spoken. O Lord, thank You for all the precious examples in Your precious and holy Word. We give You the honor and worship and ask You to remain with us even on the weekend, Lord, when the brothers and sisters come again, when people come. Lord, may You bless and may You speak to all through Your Word, O God. Lord, we need You more and more. We need the Scriptures You have left for us, for Your people. We thank You for every sermon that has been preached, for every teaching that has been brought through Your servant and prophet, and for all the holy Scriptures, Lord. For everything, we can only give You honor and thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.